Hi, this is In Traffic with Neil Rubenstein. I'm your host, Neil Rubenstein. And today I will be sitting in traffic, talking to my friend Sonia Vi, a young comedian from New York City. What's up?
Nothing. What's going on with you?
Nothing. Just driving out to Boston for some shows this weekend.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, the drive isn't, but you know. So.
Have you done Boston before?
Yeah, I've done this venue. It's a bar show, but he treats everyone real nice. He does like 3 a weekend, so.
Oh, that's great.
I've done his show before.
Good.
What's up with you, man?
Not much. I feel like I'm going to be the most boring interview you've had to date.
Impossible. Are you interested in telling me about Europe, or is that like too much of a personal thing?
About Europe?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's a bit of a personal thing.
Okay.
December was just a family month, so it wasn't.
All right, so let's talk about what we always been talking about.
White privilege.
So, well, I guess, but like in comedy, it's the opposite. It's ethnically ambiguous female privilege.
Yeah.
But you
I don't know if you can pick and choose privileges. I think it's an all or nothing type of thing, you know.
I will say that you turned me around on one point, because I was not that I was complaining. Like I get it and I'm fine with it. Like I'm just another white guy, and you know, sometimes they can't just have 12 white guys. They need to, like, mix it up a little bit. And you kind of turned me on to the idea that, like, well, there's 10 white guys and 2, you know, diversity picks or whatever. I'm not losing out to the 2 diversity picks. I'm losing out to 10 better white guys. And, like, I feel like in my daily life I hear that for, like, affirmative action people. Like, I'll hear a cop be like, well, I didn't get passed through because they had to pick 2 black dudes or 2 Puerto Rican dudes, and that's unfair. And then, like, I found myself saying things that you said to me where it's like, well, no, you didn't lose out to the 2 Spanish dudes. Other Spanish dudes lost out to those 2 Spanish dudes. You lost out to the 3 million white dudes.
Yeah.
Like, be a better white dude. And then,
yeah.
You know, but it is frustrating.
I'm glad. I mean, one, I'm glad that I appreciate that feedback. But go on, you were saying it's frustrating.
Well, no, I want to try to be a better person. And, like, you know, you raised interesting points. And I was like, well, that's the point of dialogue. Like, if it doesn't shape me in some way, then what, we could just be talking at each other and not paying attention. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. And I absolutely understand individual rejection, right? No matter what, you're being rejected, it doesn't feel good. That's what rejection is. And nobody likes to be told they're not good enough, or nobody wants to be excluded from the lineup, etc. But it's interesting. You said to me earlier, you said, you know, you can't just have 12 guys on a lineup. 12 white guys on a lineup, right?
Right.
Right there is where, see, I think there has to be awareness that the fact that the default is 12 white guys on a lineup is an assumption, right? You're assuming that those 12 white guys deserve the job. Whoever the white guys are that get it, you get it. And like now, because of diversity, we should be giving roles to other people, right? Or job lineup spots to other people. I would argue that the whole idea that the 12 guys deserve the white jobs is the problem, right? That's not how a country that has, that stays, that says it has the values that America has, kneeling in equality, you know, believing in equality and able to translate, go from one socioeconomic level to another, you know, to give people that hope and to live in peace, right? In a country with good infrastructure. I mean, that's basically, at least, I mean, that's not everything America stands for, but I'm just saying it's supposed to stand for something progressive.
Right.
At least it did until recently.
Yeah, I mean, a couple steps back every now and again. But.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the steps back hurt quite a bit. But you see what I'm saying. I'm not articulating it very well, but the idea that the 12 spots should have gone to white guys, and then only, you know, you lose two spots because you have to because of diversity, to me is that's the thinking that I think gets us all into trouble, right?
Right. I agree. You can't argue with that, but two things, I guess. One, what about those lists where they purposely exclude white guys, where it's like, well, that's unfair. Like, I didn't pick, you know,
right,
like,
but the majority of the lineups exclude other people. There's no lack of white guys who work in comedy. There's you can be a white man and work in comedy and not be extraordinary, right? I think that the idea, if you're going to be someone who's not a straight white man and make it to the top, you do have to be extraordinary. So I do think, yes, in the one instant, if you look at a lineup, you're like, oh, I'm being excluded. That's not fair. You're absolutely right. But think about all the unfairness that's in your favor, right? Like, there are tons of lineups that I see that I'm like, there's not even a woman on there. There's not even a person of color. There's not even, you know, et cetera. And so I probably experience that 10 times as much as you do. So to hear you say there's one show and I can't get on that one show and it's not fair, to me is like, you know, it's hard to have empathy there for me. It's hard to be sympathetic.
You're making me sound pretty petty.
But that's not what you said.
No, I'm not saying a show. I'm saying like there's like at the end of the year they do like the best comics to watch list, or you know what I mean? And it's always, like, every list is, like, 12 people I've never seen in an open mic. And it's like, no, dude, there's some other people you're missing on that list. And the one thing that I can see is they all have in common is that they're white dudes.
I mean, I don't know what publications you're looking at, so I apologize. And I don't mean to make you sound petty. That was not my intention to make you sound petty. I'm just, look at all the Netflix specials that are coming out, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of white dudes, yeah.
Okay, so there you go. So I just feel like the status quo for good or bad, the status quo has been that many, many fields are dominated by white men, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I understand that when you start losing, when that status quo changes, of course it's going to be uncomfortable for white men because there's this assumption that, hey, you know, if I work really hard, I'm gonna be able to be successful to some extent, right? And then you see other people come in, maybe other people that are not white or male, and suddenly it's like, wait a second, you know, they're taking my spot, or they're taking what was destined to be mine. And I guess what I'm trying to say is white people have taken what was destined to be the future of people of color for thousands of years. And so I get what you're saying. I actually understand the same pain that you feel when you see that. But imagine, I feel it like everywhere, you know, or someone else, you know, someone else of someone else. I mean, I don't mean to be grandiose. I really don't. I just don't know how to explain that the status quo has been in your favor for so long, right?
But I didn't get a chance to use it.
What?
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get a chance to use it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're born in the wrong generation.
Yeah, can we just hold hold off for like 20 more years. You guys can do, like, honestly, like, I'll be the least racist old man in the world. I swear to God. Let me get there. Let me get there. And then, you know, I'll help change it.
I mean, you know, that's just funny. All I can tell you is what people tell me, and it sounds, and it's going to make you sound, like, it's going to make you feel bad, because this doesn't make me feel good. It's when someone's like, oh, you want to be there? Be undeniable. Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, people,
yeah.
There are all sorts of people who work, not everyone has to be undeniable, but suddenly,
yeah.
You know.
But it's, and again, I get it, I understand it, and I'm not like, duh, it's bullshit. I understand it. But it is frustrating to see someone who, like, just isn't good and isn't working hard get something that you work hard for that, you know, you do feel good, like you're good enough, you know?
Do you ever see white men that you don't think are good?
Oh, I always see white men that I don't think are good.
Yeah, but why does that not bother you as much?
Oh, no,
that
bothers me just as much.
Oh, okay, then that's good. I mean, then you can't say that you see people who aren't good just because they're not white. You see people who aren't good because the people who aren't good tend to also, some of them, make it to the top, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so,
but,
I mean, if you said that in a general context of, like, I hate seeing people who aren't good, you know, make it, then I'd say, yeah, I agree with you. I feel the same exact way. Because you know how hard it is. I know how it is to work and be in this field. It's everything's against you, right? We're it's an uphill battle. We're climbing Mount Everest.
Like, even the consumers of this art don't respect it as art.
Yeah, exactly. Hence heckling.
Like people wanting to be a part of people, you know, I don't know, just the utter disrespect is crazy, but I feel like I'm always scared to have this conversation because I feel like I come across so much worse than I mean to. Like,
no, I don't think so, Neil. I know that, and I know you personally, and I don't think that's the case. But I think this is why we need to be having these types of conversations. And with men who are white, right? Like, I think this is why communities need to start having these uncomfortable conversations. I'm not going to assume that you're, I'm not going to say you're going to come off as someone horrible, because I know you, and I know your frustration is in your particular career, right? Because there's this idea of the world and of race and gender and et cetera, and then there's just you trying to make it. So anybody who gets in your way is an issue, correct?
Yeah.
But the thing is that you focus on the people who get in your way that happen to be not white and male. I didn't hear you once say, oh, well, there's white males that don't deserve that shit, and I, you know, fuck them, right? I didn't hear you say that. And maybe
well,
you feel that way, too, but until we talk about it.
I will definitely say fuck them. For sure, fuck them, too.
Yeah, exactly, sure. But you say fuck them too. They were not included in the initial, you know, discomfort or initial anger that you felt. Because I think I think it's when you're competing of people who are the same race and gender, you don't think about it as, you know, you don't think about it as, or you don't differentiate as much as you do when somebody else comes into the group, right? Because someone else comes, when you're losing the white men, right? But let's say someone else comes into the group, and now you're losing to that person. This is where I say we're like just, in racism is just indoctrinated into us, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
The reason why you're more upset at that other person is because they're not white and male, is because there's a certain feeling among white individuals that they are better. And I don't even think it's conscious. I think it's a subconscious thing. I think it's something we've all been taught, not just you, right? White
well,
men stand on the top.
Well, I don't think that that's the view that I'm coming from. I will agree that, and again, like, I'm sounding like a jerk, but it's easier to brush off, like, if there's a black woman on stage and she sounds like a typical shouty, the stereotype, like if a racist designed a black comedian, this is what she sounds like.
That's hysterical.
If that woman's on stage, it's easy for me to be like, oh, another woman got this show over me because she's black. It's easy for me to do that because she's black, because I see it right away, she's black. It's
right, that's what,
it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
That's like the basic, that's like the indoctrinated racism that's
but
been put
not,
into all of us.
But it's not saying I'm automatically better because I'm white. It's just saying it takes me longer to recognize when a white guy's terrible.
Exactly. But it makes all the difference, Neil. That's all I'm saying. It makes 100% of the difference.
You know what's sick? I can hear how horrible and racist I sound right now, and I am 1 million times better than the people that I deal with on a daily basis.
Well, that makes me feel just very scared.
It is so bad out there. It is so bad out there. Because I'm like, no, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side of things. And then I talk to a woman about sexism, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm horrible.
No, we all, like, I guess the whole Me Too movement that's come out and Time's Up, I mean, if you think about it, this stuff has gone on for so long because we've all entered into this silent contract.
Right,
and the silent contract is that white men are on top. You know, women have accepted to deal with a certain level of misogyny and probably are misogynistic toward each other. I've seen that as well.
Yeah.
But it's this silent contract we've all entered into for years and years and years. And maybe that contract's been a little, like, it's been amended a couple times to make it slightly better for women or slightly better for people of color. But I think what's happening right now is the contract is being broken.
Right.
And when you break a contract that's unspoken that you have had with, you know, another group of people for so long, it is going to feel like that's not fair. And it is going to make that group angry that you broke the contract. Right?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know how to explain it, but like, okay. This is the best I can do. With my father, right? Since I don't even know this, but I entered into a contract of being this person who was always doing what he said, and if not, you know, there were so many consequences, right? So
right.
Growing up with a very strict father. And the silent contract that I entered to that I didn't even realize until very recently was that if I do everything he says, I'm a good daughter. If I don't do everything he says, I'm a shitty daughter. Right? That's the contract. And I didn't even know I was in it, but I behave that, like, you know, you don't realize it, but we all, like, sort of behave in the way that the contract says. And suddenly I decided to change that. I decided to say, you know what? I'm not a bad person or a bad daughter just because I don't do everything he says. So I broke the contract. Right?
Right.
And my dad went ballistic.
Okay.
So I'm just saying that, like, I understand the backlash of when you take that step to break the contract. But I had to break it. You know, I don't know if I can explain it. Like, I had to break it. I had to be my own person. I didn't want to be this person who felt bad or was viewed as a bad human being by her own father just because she had disagreements with him. Right?
Right.
So for
right.
my health, for my well-being, I had to break that contract. That being said, he reacted in a very negative way, and we've had a terrible relationship since then. And that's
right.
a microcosm for what I'm talking about, you know, and I'm not using race or gender, really. I'm using a parental unit to give
right,
an
right.
example. And I'm just saying that I understand that backlash. I understand why you feel what you feel, Neil. I'm not, you know, devoid of sympathy or empathy. But at the same time, the contract has been so hurtful to the other party that it needed to be broken. And I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, in regards to the Me Too movement and the Time's Up thing, I definitely understand what you're saying. My personal feeling on, like, the diversity in comedy, I don't feel like... You know what would solve, like, really, like, what would solve the issue in my brain is if I saw the same amount of women and the same amount of people of color that I do of white guys.
Right, but you don't.
I don't.
There's not as many, right.
Right. But, so it's like, well, you have to put a couple girls on. You have to put a couple black dudes on. Otherwise, your show's not diverse. But it's like, if there were just more of them, then the cream would rise to the top the same way it does with white guys. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm too, like,
but I think, in that sense.
You
know, I get what you're saying. You're like, oh, but we have to make these two spots diverse. What I'm trying to say to you is that in itself is unfair.
No. I'm saying all shows would just
be diverse
naturally. Be diverse.
Yeah.
Because
that would be the case if we didn't have this baked-in racism and sexism in our lives, right? Because the reality is, if we were at an equal playing field, right, the cream would rise to the top. And who knows? Maybe women would be funnier than men. Oh my God, you know, think about that. Or maybe, you know, a specific group of people of color will be funnier than everybody else. I don't know, right? But the problem is that we've never had a level playing field. That's the point. Is like, I agree with you. I think we should have a level playing field and then let things be as they, you know,
isn't comedy a level playing field?
No. There's no level playing field right now for, I would say, aside from sports, there's no level playing field when it comes to competing with white men.
But in the community, like, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, God. In the world that we're in, like, it feels so welcoming and you know, like, I don't know, man. I feel like when I go to Mike's and it's, like, all white dudes, I'm like, why is this all white dudes? I know, you know, I can list 30 black dudes and 30 female comics that aren't here right now. Why aren't they here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons you don't see people, as many people, is accessibility. When someone creates an environment that's caustic to the person who's different, that person is less likely to enter into that environment, right? I remember when I started comedy, I remember my first open mic. It was a dark room at the back of Sal's in L.A., this restaurant. South
Comedy Hall.
And it was a dark room. It was probably like 5 o'clock. And the room was filled with men. I was the only woman, right? Nobody said hello. Nobody made an effort to make me feel friendly. Now, nobody had that responsibility. I'm not saying they did, right? But had I been a male comic, I think they would have, right? I saw male comics come in and they were a little bit more friendly to those guys.
I don't know, because I remember...
I'm entering this environment that is hostile toward me because I'm different. And then, you know, when I got up there, I remember my first words were, oh, this is the most pleasant gangbang I've ever been to, you know, because I had to cut the tension in some way and acknowledge the way I was feeling. Like, it just, you know, to acknowledge the elephant in the room, I guess. But that's the deal. If people were welcoming to to those who are different, we wouldn't be in this situation at all. It's because people use their power to exclude other people from getting a fair shot. That's why we're in the mess we're in. And that's a light, that's me putting it extremely lightly, you know, in very basic terms. It's way deeper than that, but it's...
It's bad for everyone's first mic. I know white guys who've gone to a mic, felt so uncomfortable that they left and then didn't try comedy again for like 3 years. You know what I mean? Like,
Were they feeling uncomfortable because of there was like just a lot of women and a lot of non-white men? Or I don't understand what made them feel uncomfortable.
Because it's an awkward thing going to your first open mic.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yes, you're going to be nervous regardless, right? And you're right, but the thing is that, like, they didn't come back, you know they didn't come back just because they didn't feel good about the comedy. When a woman enters that situation, you don't know if she's not coming back because she didn't feel good about the comedy or because she felt intimidated, you know, and unsafe in a situation when it was all men. So that's what I'm trying to say. There's that nuance there.
Yeah, but it's... Isn't it like, how do I make you feel not uncomfortable? I mean,
you think that men would understand how to do that, right?
No, but I don't know. How do you do that? Like, no,
you treat someone with, you know how you do that? You treat someone with respect and you treat them as an equal. That is literally all you have to do. The answer is simple.
But if a guy comes down the stairs and I ignore him because I'm in my book, and then a girl comes down the stairs and I ignore her because I'm in my book, how did I do something wrong?
I don't mean, no,
girl?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I think we're getting caught up in the specifics. I don't feel uncomfortable if somebody ignores me. Right? I don't feel uncomfortable because I'm trying something new. I mean, I'm a comic just like you. We have maybe a higher level of, you know, a threshold. But there's something that feels uncomfortable when you sense that all those people there are hostile toward you. And I don't know how to explain that because it's anecdotal and it's an experience that I've gone through. But when there have been, like, I used to work in finance, right? It was the same thing. Like, these guys would be really nice when we went out to happy hour, and then at work, they give each other high fives. When I'd walk into the room, conversations would stop. Like, you feel it. You just, I don't know how to explain it. You would have had to experience it. But that's what I'm talking about. That's not, that uncomfortability doesn't come from somebody ignoring you because they're in the book, or come from, you know, somebody who's not being, like, just being aloof. That uncomfortability is done on purpose. It's an active thing that men do to women. It's a hostile environment. It's just that it's anecdotal. But now with the Me Too movement, you see that it's not an anecdotal thing. It's happened to women so much, so long.
It's hard to, and this is like another thing, like, I want to say I want to help, right? But I'm scared to say I want to help.
Why?
Because I'm scared of the reaction, we don't need your help. Because I've gotten that a million times. I've gotten that.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this, like, as a woman, I don't know who you're talking to, and if there's a group that doesn't want your help, then don't help them, but it's a big world, you know? There are
right.
women who are going to welcome this. Because
right.
in order for this to really change, I'm sure you saw Chappelle's special. You know, we have to work together. Like, this isn't going to just change on its own. Men and women have to work together.
Right, and I want to help, but I don't understand how to help that. I'm not that. I've never been that. And I don't know how to stop that.
Well,
like,
you know, one thing you could do is to maybe, if you see someone maybe uncomfortable, like, you have to read a room. You know how to read a room. You're a comic, right?
Yeah.
And you know how to read a room, meaning you know why someone's uncomfortable, because the room is making them uncomfortable versus they're just fucking awkward, right?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, because we have awkward individuals in comedy.
Sometimes,
so let's say the simple part you can do is, let's say if someone walks in and they're uncomfortable and you're aware that they're uncomfortable because there's a bit of hostile tension toward them that's, you know, unspoken because of this contract we've had for so many years, you can do something about that. You can just be nice, right? You can just be decent to that person and make that person feel welcome. That's what, little things like that.
I will say, and I know I'm gonna get torn down for this, whatever. I will say though, that's a scary proposal for me, because I am concerned that my trying to cut the tension or whatever will come across as the old fat guy is hitting on me.
I mean, look, if someone's going to mistake you for hitting on them, that's their bad, right? Every time I say hi to a guy, I think they think I'm hitting on them. But I still have to say hello to people. You know, I have to take that risk. and I don't feel comfortable too, because every time I say hi to a guy, I'm like, oh, I wonder if he thinks that I'm DPS just because I'm saying hello. But you'll be surprised at how many men actually, that is in their head. Like, a woman says hello, and they're like, oh, she wants me. That's how delusional people are.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
you know this.
Yeah, no, I do.
But I'm
I
saying,
do.
So you just have to make, put yourself in, like, you have to do it anyway. Like, I have to say hi anyway because I have no other choice. You have to do it anyway. And you
do
have
I
to
say,
trust that your intentions are, if your intentions are pure, they're going to come off as pure.
Do I lead with, hey, I'm Neil, don't worry, my dick doesn't work?
That's creepy, Neil.
Oh, that's creepy. Okay, all right. I was just checking. I don't know. I don't know where the line's going.
I mean, it could be as simple as, like, how we met. I thought you were really nice when we met. Like, you know what I mean? We said hello to each other. Not everyone's nice to each other. I make an effort. I try to look at it like, I'm going to go up to people who might have that underlying hostile feeling for me. Because, hey, I'm an individual, and let them judge me as an individual, and hopefully that'll break down a little bit of this, you know, little at a time, right? Even if it's doing nothing, you're like, well, it's doing a tiny little thing. A speck of the world is changing.
But that, all right, so when we met, that's a really good example, because I felt like, I think you said hi to me first.
Probably.
So right now I was like, okay, this is a nice lady, like, and we got to talking and everything was cool and we had some friends in common and we were both going to the same place. And I offered
and
you a
think,
ride.
Did you think I was hitting on you?
No.
Right, because you're not delusional.
I'm not delusional.
but I took the risk, right? I took the risk.
But then I said, oh, I'm going to the same place. Do you want a ride?
Yeah. And I said, okay,
now,
thank you.
Yeah, but right then, like, a lot of people would have taken us a different way. It would be like, oh, you know, I'm going to get in a car with a stranger or whatever the, you know what I mean? Or, like, this guy thinks I'm DTF or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll tell you, if a woman feels that way, it's probably because that's happened. It's probably because that's happened to her. Like, your compadre. Your peers have
no,
done
my guys,
like,
yeah, my boys.
You know what I mean? Like, they're actually hurting you because of the way they're treating women. And you know that. You know that because you know they're guys who just give girls rides because they want to be in an environment with them where they can be alone and, you know, hit on them or whatever. But
yeah, no, you're right.
So that's the reason. She doesn't feel that way just because, like, she feels that way. Probably someone made her feel that way. And then once you do, as a woman, that's very hard to shake. Because then you have to worry about your own well-being, right? So it's just a hard thing. If some guy, like, attacks you in his car, not even, like, rapes you or anything, but just, like, you know, does something really inappropriate, like, touches your thigh or boob or something. You don't mean by attack. I mean, like, just not sex, not necessarily assault, but something that's just really not be doing, right? Like, you should, like, you would not teach your, you would tell your children, like, this is not appropriate, but they do it, right?
Right.
That's going to stick with her, right? Because that, what I think men don't understand, and I don't know, maybe you do. I don't know, okay? So I don't want to say what I think men don't understand, but anytime you're in a situation with a woman, that situation can become sexually charged at any point.
Right.
And the second it's sexually charged, the entire dynamic changes. And unfortunately, for far too long, in so many situations women have been in, men have decided to switch that light and sexually charge the room or the scenario and then take advantage of it. Like, there's just too many men who've been scummy, right?
Right.
To the extent that we expect it. Like, I'll tell you, if I told you the stuff that I put up with, because I just have to, I'm like, well, this is just how men are, you know?
I mean,
if I want to live in the world, I have to deal with this sexual harassment. But, like, I don't think you should have to deal with that. I don't think another woman should have to deal with that. I don't think anybody should have to deal with it.
No, I mean, I see it all the time. Like, you know, I remember, I'm not going to say names, but I remember a good friend of mine, a young lady that I work with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, I want to pop up by this club. The producer there said he's going to, like, put me on some shows. You know, I just got to show my face. And we went up there. We took a cab uptown. We went to the club. And he was, like, handsy. Like, so handsy. Like, if it was my girlfriend, I would have punched him in the mouth.
Yeah.
But it's this woman that I respect, that I know can handle herself, that makes her own decisions. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be, what do I do here? Do I say to her, hey, do you want me to knock this guy out for you? You know, or do I just let her make her own decisions? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right there is, like, that's a weird thing for me.
Right, and you'll never experience that with a producer, right?
No,
because the guy's going to, like, put his hands on your back. I experience it, like, there's guys who, like, put their hands around my arm or my waist. Or, like, rub my back. And,
you know, this
is how used to, I think, women are to sexual harassment. But I'm sure that didn't even say, like, she probably was like, this is the toll that I have to pay, you know?
Yeah. I will
and
say,
the toll
though,
can be much higher, so I'm willing to pay this.
Gay men do that. Gay men are very aggressive. Not all, I don't know, not
especially
all.
Especially to you, because you're adorable.
Yeah. I definitely give off a vibe that I'm okay with it, and so I've definitely had my handsy experiences with men where I'm like, sorry guy, I don't know what
cool.
It was I did, but
but every single time, like, that's happened, how many times has that gay man been in power over you? You know, even a slight
exactly.
Power, meaning a producer or anything like that.
I mean, the only time it does happen with producers, like, it's happened with producers. Not show producers, because I don't know particularly any, not overt with show producers, but, like, back when I was doing television more often, I definitely, a music channel exec.
You've experienced that harassment then.
Yeah, but I don't know, I guess because I'm a guy, it didn't affect me the way, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know why it didn't, I'm sure it did affect you, but it didn't make you feel unsafe, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not scarred from it. And I recognize that women get, so I don't compare it. So yeah, it was sexually harassed, but sexually harassed in a way where it was like, I don't want to call it sexual harassment because I don't want to confuse the issue of sexual harassment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? The thing is, if you wanted to say don't do it, you could have. But you also might have kept quiet because this person was a producer and they could have given you an opportunity. You know, you could have. and you're like, hey, this guy's able to do things.
No, I mean, no, I say, yo, man, no, I'm not, you know.
Yeah. But if that was going to impact, if every time you did that, that was going to impact you working.
I would probably lower the, right.
And you followed the career, you know, because I think it's interesting when people are like, well, just don't put up with it. And you're like, well, you know, think about all the women that Harvey Weinstein did that to that were like, okay. Yeah, like, you know what? This is just the way the world works. And if I want to be a lead actress, I got to watch this guy jack off. At least he's not trying to fuck me. Like, I bet you some women had that thought process.
Sure. For
and
sure.
Do you think
I mean,
for 1 second that's fair? Do you think for 1 second that, no, but that's how shitty it is.
But that's the thing. Like, we, as guys, we don't recognize that because it literally is different for a guy.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear, oh, you know, the... like let the Louis thing with the jacking off. Are you kidding me? I'd watched Louis jack off for an opportunity to open for him, no problem. No problem. It means nothing to me. I'm not
because
you know
it doesn't
I mean?
Put you in it. It doesn't put you in a dangerous environment, just like with the snap of a finger.
But if
it was your girlfriend or your sister, like if he did that in the snap of a finger, he put them in a very dangerous environment, right? He created a dangerous environment for them.
Right. But, okay. Yes. I don't
You can
know
disagree
how
with
got,
me. I'm
I don't know how I got on this side of the argument. I'm definitely for this movement.
No, but I think you're making a really great point that says it's really hard for me to acknowledge because I don't see it. I don't experience it. Right? It's the same thing with racism.
Well,
it's hard for people to acknowledge it when they don't, they're not a victim of it or they're not, you know, they're not exposed to it.
Right. When I talk to regular American racists, they don't think they're racist because they think everyone has the opportunities that they had.
Right.
And I know that that's not the case.
Yeah.
I know that everyone has different level of opportunities.
Right. I
can afford to drive to the city and pay for an open mic. And maybe a kid from the Bronx can't do that. But
maybe. I don't know if it's like that simple anymore, but yeah.
Right. But I know that kids from the Bronx can do it because I've seen them.
Right.
So why aren't there more kids from the Bronx?
Yeah, but that's isn't that it, right? Because it's like, it's not my problem. And I'm like, there aren't more kids in the Bronx because the system isn't set up to have people, I don't know why we're saying kids from the Bronx, but like, the system isn't set up to have people who are not white or male necessarily succeed, right? When the system is set up for you to fail, that's why you only see one or two kids versus a ton of kids, you know, succeeding in a field.
Right.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. So you know how colleges used to be all male?
Say again?
You remember how colleges used to be all male?
Yeah.
Well, one of the last universities to go co-ed, at least one of the last Ivies, was Columbia. It's in New York, right? And didn't go until like 80, 83, I can't remember, right? Some ridiculous...
Oh, that recent? Really?
No. It didn't admit women. Sorry.
Wait, say it again?
I said Columbia didn't admit women. Do you remember when colleges were all male, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't admit women. In the beginning, they didn't want to admit women because they're like, women are not at our level.
Right. And then
the reason the women were not at their level was because they didn't have the opportunity.
Right.
And now, if you look at it, like this is what's impressive is if you look at it now, women do better in college than men.
Yeah, and also in countries where, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but in countries where women are as engaged in college and in the workforce. Like, there's less unwanted pregnancies. There's less. There's less families on welfare.
Yeah. You know, making life better for people who are of color, minorities, women, children, makes the lives of everyone better.
Yeah.
But the problem is there are a few people that hold so much power, and they're like, fuck everybody. So you know what? You should be mad at the other white guy. The other white guy's like, fuck the other white men. I'm going to keep my power and make this world terrible.
Yes. I hate white men.
I don't like speaking in those terms because it doesn't move the conversation forward. I don't hate all white men, right?
I hate most white men. I hate most white men.
This is what I can say. You know, when you see things going on, you just don't mean to backtrack, but like.
Go ahead.
You remember when you said, I see this happening all the time? Like, you see a good buddy of mine was doing this to a girl, right?
Yeah.
The problem is you see it and you let it go. And that's because you've entered into the silent contract we all have. You know, so I'm not going to put that on you. But the way you change it is that you got to stop letting it go. Like, if some dude talks about grabbing a girl's pussy in the locker room and other guys are like, yeah, it would be awesome if one of those guys was just like, no, dude, that's rape. You know, like, no, that's not acceptable and you shouldn't do that. But
I definitely do that.
A lot of men haven't spoken up. I'm not saying not all, because some have. And, you know, they're heroes. But that's what I'm trying to say is, like, you need to speak up and say, no, this is not cool. Because if you shut it down, then those other guys that didn't feel comfortable but just were, like, you know, doing it because it's, like, frat, like, environment happens, they'll be like, yeah, he's right. I have a sister. Like, that's not cool. You know, but they're just too afraid to speak.
Like, last night, I was with a couple of comics going home, and we were talking about the Me Too thing with the Aziz Ansari in particular. Mm-hmm. And sharing opinions on it, very male-centric opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on board for a lot of it because I agree with some of the statements being made. And then there was a turning point in the conversation where it got, like, kind of, like, macho. And I said straight up, like, all right, that's my stop. Like, I'm not interested in pursuing this conversation. I don't like the direction it's going. And we changed topics. They recognized that it was going to get weird because I no longer agree. And it's not going to be fun and funny to talk about anymore. And we moved on to the next thing.
Right,
I don't know if I changed anyone's mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of just said, oh, okay, let's just avoid this topic. And because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have.
And I don't want to not get booked on a show.
Exactly.
Because
you don't want to be their friend, like, you're their friend, right? So I get it in the moment. It's very hard to speak up.
More importantly, there's a lot of black dudes and women trying to get on his show that I want to get on his show before them.
You should also want to get on the show before other white dudes. That's all I'm asking is include everybody.
Yeah. Sorry. I just want to get on
you
the show.
You see how racist that sounds?
I get it now. You did it again, Sonia. You turned me again. I got it now.
That's not my intention. My intention is to have a conversation with you from my point of view, but I try to look at it from your point of view, too. Like, I think sticking to mine is not necessarily a great way at having a conversation with somebody. But also, like, you know, I feel comfortable enough to have that conversation with you, and maybe that's because we are friends and we have, you know, the vibe between us, a safe vibe. If I didn't feel a safe vibe from you, I would not have tried to have that uncomfortable conversation. I would just remove myself from the situation and then try to never engage with that person again. Because I can't risk my safety. Like, you know what I mean? But there's just something that happens. I think I don't even think it's conscious. It's just some of my body feels it before I even know it. You're like, your body actually reacts before your mind does, believe it or not. And so your body gets uncomfortable first, even before you haven't said, like, even if before you even realize it.
And I think it's important. Important.
Huh?
I was saying, like, I think it's important, and then I, like, laughed at my use of the word important, because it's like,
it's really uncomfortable, Neil. It's very uncomfortable.
What I'm doing is so important. But I think it's important that this is, like, a thing people can listen to.
Hopefully.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Someone can be like, Neil's funny, and let's hear him make fun of whatever, and then, like, they're like, oh, yeah, no, I do do that. I do that also. Or not.
I also think that part of the reason it happens is because, according to our social contract, a lot of men get away with it. And I think one of the biggest things to stop it, and this is why things blow up, is when you say, okay, no to the contract at all, you have to set certain rules in place to make sure that doesn't happen, right? Laws, rules, whatever you want, call them, workplace that might be rules, and society might be laws. When those laws happen, there's a huge backlash, right? But
right.
If they're adhered to and we progress as a society, then guess what? Your behavior, that behavior that will get better. Right? Think about the first time the segregation ended and they had to bring in the Federal Guard to protect Black people to go to school because they were getting,
Right.
I mean, that's insane that had to happen. Right? But with that happening, we were going in the right way, for the arc of justice, as MLK Jr. said. Like, sometimes you have to do things you have to take a step that's so extreme. Like, to have the National Guard there seems insane. But they had to do that because these Black lives would have been hurt by these white people. And not only that, once the National Guard went away, I'm sure there was just, like, overt racism, you're a piece of shit and you're not da-da-da-da. But through time, like, through the generations, at least a good portion of America has become better. Right? White America has become better. I'd like to say all of America, but it seems like there's some people in the South that's going to bring back slavery.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got to, we have work to do. Hey, Sonia, thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being a part.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry that the end felt like
that.
No,
thank you for being so,
I apologize.
No, thank you for being so woke. No, thank you for doing this. Thank you. This is great. I think it's going to come out great. And thanks for... You're the first one of 2018.
Oh, that's all. That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you
big,
for having me.
Milestone.
I appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Don't be racist.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll try not to.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Neil. Let's get that photo done, shall we?
Yeah.